Welcome back to the Space Quesera show, where Kavi has once again lost, returning to the recording studio, and he's looking a little rough. So granted, when you're listening to this, Kavi will be in full fighting health again, and your thoughts and wishes will be sending out to the universe to somebody else. I don't know, but send the thoughts and wishes. It'll maybe land on somebody who needs it right now.
To the complaints department.
The potassium episode, where we're just talking about whatever. And we teased in the last segment about the Dear Moon competition and the winners who were selected, which we just found out less than a week ago. And Dear Moon is a competition put on by SpaceX, which is for crew to orbit the moon. Mm-hmm. And I remember,
But not just any crew.
But not just any crew.
An inspirational crew.
They want a crew of artists and songwriters and photographers to
poets
and poets. Right, to make a whole
artistic dancers. Thing about it. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Crew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are two backup crew members, and I think in total the crew size will be 9 people. So. 8 in the crew, and then like the mission commander is the Japanese billionaire funding it.
Is he going too?
Well, yeah,
he's going too. Okay.
He's the spacecraft commander, yeah.
Okay.
And it was his idea,
Right. I knew it was his idea, but didn't he also purchase a SpaceX flight to go up to the ISS?
I don't know about that.
That's what I would do if I were a billionaire.
Oh, actually, no, you're right. You're right. He did that. He did that already. I think he already went up.
Yeah, because I think he was like the original, like somehow he was tied into this whole thing where he started this competition, but then like things changed. And so then he was like, yeah, well, I'm just going to buy a ticket and go up or something like that. I know he's been up to the space station. I don't remember his name, but I'm almost positive he's been up already. But I mean,
at the end of last year, I think I remember he went up for like a week and a half with his assistant.
Yes.
I think so. Yeah.
And I don't know if it was him, but somebody paid their way up there and they complained about how much work they had to do on the space station.
I don't think that was him.
I don't think it was either. It was somebody else though. Like they were surprised how much weight they had to pull to be up mm-hmm. there.
Maybe it was one of the Axiom astronauts. I don't think so, though, because most of them were very well prepared.
Okay.
I mean, I know that like the commander of the Axiom mission was a former astronaut, so he knew what he was getting into. Eitan Stieber, the Israeli astronaut in Axiom, also was like very much aware of what he was getting into. Maybe one of the other ones on Axiom was like...
I think it might... Maybe that's right. That sounds right now. They were kind of like, I paid all this money to get up here and I have to work, like that kind of thing. Like,
oh my God.
So with
him on that, like if I got up there, I would just want to like stare out the window the whole time.
Yes. Like, yes. Well, you know, the thing about the ISS is that it takes a lot of maintenance to keep it going. So if you're up there contributing to the, you know, waste and the usage of the facility space, it would make sense mm-hmm. that you also have to be responsible for helping maintaining it. And that actually Absolutely. Takes up a huge majority of the time of the ISS astronauts. But the Dear Moon ones don't have to worry about that. They're just going around the moon, supposedly on a starship, which supposedly my brain is mm-hmm. having a really hard time with this as well. I'm not going to lie, because it hasn't even gone to space yet.
Starship? No.
Right.
But the tests are getting better and better.
Yeah. I guess it's just my brain is like, how does reentry look? How does reentry look for that craft from space? Because right now it's just done the hop, hops, but it's gone up pretty high, but it just goes up and then comes down. So right. I know the belly flop. Mm-hmm. So that's how it's going to come in. It's going to belly flop right. through the atmosphere and then yes. flip and then okay and yeah, then the chopsticks so. Are gonna catch it
the what
I
the chopsticks
I in yeah. our preparation for this show we talked about people being skeptical about things invented or going to be invented in science. And I am very skeptical of this giant set of chopsticks catching something as big as Starship. For those of people who don't understand how big Starship is, it's what? I think a meter or two difference in height from the space shuttle, fully stacked with boosters and external fuel tank. It's about that size. And so something that big, even if it's coming down in a controlled manner, getting caught by a stationary building, I would love to see it happen. We had fusion the other day, so I want to see a building. I want to see a building catch a rocket out of the air
with chopsticks.
Hey, with chopsticks. It could happen. It very well could happen. But you've got
to. Miyagi could do it with a fly. Mr. Miyagi, thank you. Could catch a fly.
Mr. Miyagi had a heart of fusion.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen, you know, their computer animated versions of this happening, but it's very hard for me. I mean, every time I've watched that thing land, I don't think I've ever held my breath so hard for a vehicle in my entire life. Like each and every single time. I'm to the point now where I see a Falcon land and they're landing on, you know, the, of course, I still love you ships out in the ocean and stuff like that. They're very targeted little narrow pads. I'm like, at this point, I'm kind of like, yeah, you know, even if it goes wrong, it had a good 20 plus re-landings run. Like, like there's like a security almost even in the failure of it. Starship, it's like each time you see that thing belly flop. I remember the first, that was also a little bit mind-blowing when it belly flopped the first time. I saw it and I'm like, wait, is this supposed to be happening? What is happening? What is happening? Why are you, is this wrong? What's going on? That thing is terrifying to watch land. Terrifying. And then
go for it.
I was gonna say, I think it looks like it makes total sense the way it goes up, the way it hovers. They've all gone up smoothly, they've all hovered smoothly.
Except for that one, didn't it blow up kind of up there?
No,
it was a spontaneous, rapid disassembly, unscheduled rapid disassembly.
But the belly flop thing. I think the two that managed the belly flop looked really clever and it seemed to make sense. And as you see it coming down, it changed the rate of descent because it was flopping and folding its fins.
It looks last minute. I'm like, oh my God. Right. Like, it's just,
I think it could absolutely work. I think they landed one and everyone went crazy. But then,
well, I mean,
the cameras, it blew
landing's
up.
Landing's a bit of a loose term there. I mean, it landed.
It came to a stop standing up on the ground.
Cat on fire. And I think one of the legs kind of buckled. And, you know, but it's. And nine people are saying, yeehaw, sign me up. I'll ride that ride. So they do have a lot of work cut out for them. I mean, they do as a company with that.
I would sooner go on that than the other one. Oh, I can't remember the name of the company. But there's a company that's designing rocket launches using angular momentum, where it basically spins it around.
Oh, yeah. I call it the yeet machine.
Oh, spin launch.
Thank you. Yes, the yeet machine. I would much rather strap myself to, you know, an 18-story explosive designed by SpaceX than a yeet machine.
Well, the yeet machine is never going to... I don't think the yeet machine can ever take people. It's too... That's way too much.
Organic will survive.
Yeah.
It's all... All supplies only. That's it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to be squished.
But, and here's the thing that I do admire very much also about SpaceX as a company. And I have to say, I know that like Elon is under so much heat because of Twitter and stuff like that. So let's just separate the man from the company, okay? Because I think SpaceX has a brilliant team of engineers and people running the real nuts and bolts of what that company is. They have also always had a unique PR angle to them, where they build up their hype by the level of like surprise and sort of mystery. They're very like, we're doing this. And the people are like, oh my God, you know, there is some cleverness to it that it's annoying from someone who works in communications and like wants to be like, I'd like to go down for a launch. Well, no one knows when the frick they're going to happen. But there is an element of like surprise and excitement to that, that I think it lends well to them. It has helped them. And I think that this Dear Moon announcement is yet another one of those kind of notches in the belt.
The PR belt.
Yeah. Of, you know, you put this out a long time ago and like, surprise, we named them. And now it's sort of, and surprise, they're going to go on this ship that has not really, you know, it's not even remotely ready to put people on it, but that's what we're doing. And now everyone's watching them again and going, okay.
I think we'll end up seeing the Dear Moon or a crewed starship launch around the same time that we see the crewed Artemis mission.
Yeah, I agree.
I think roughly that's what's going to work out.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to probably go about the same time. And there almost might be kind of an interesting like comparison notes thing that's going to happen with that too, you know?
Maybe.
I could see them being like, well, the SLS have X amount of space and they have these mm-hmm. bathroom systems, whereas Starship has this much space and these bathroom systems. If any of you know the inside behind the scenes stories of Inspiration 4, the bathrooms were quite a
oh yes,
quite an issue.
But they had a great view. What people don't know is on that Dragon capsule, it had a glass dome so you can stick your head up and see all around you. That's with true. No obstruction. This beautiful, beautiful view of space and the earth, and it was amazing.
Right.
However, that's also where the restroom was. And so you go up there and you pull a little curtain beneath you. So it's just you and the dome. And then you take out all the equipment and take care of your business. But what a view. So if anybody's wondering where you go to make the go make your boom booms. What a view.
And I feel like it's kind of like being on an airplane where your ears are somewhat popped and so you can't hear how much noise you may or may not be making, and the rest of your crew members on the side of that curtain are just like
yes.
holding There's their breath.
No shame. Yeah, right.
I'm also very proud that I brought up potty, poop this time, not coffee.
That was solid, Benjamin.
Thank
Way
you,
to go.
Coffee. Coffee's got me beat actually, on that list.
It's a very valid point because most Dragon capsules, they're docking with the ISS, so they don't have that dome on the top. They're probably some of the very few people that are going to be able to say that they had a view like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's beyond the cupola of the ISS. That's just so that is a special experience, albeit that it's also their pooping space. But I mean, what better way to go, I guess. On that
literally
note,
what a great way to go.
On that note, no, all of these things are very, very exciting. I think that, you know, it's each one of the things we've talked about, SLS, the Fusion, and Dear Moon. My whole idea with this was not necessarily skepticism, but like there's always going to be a healthy dose of naysayers, and that's
also
the important part.
So much skepticism from your collaborators and people in your research groups or on your experimental teams. Like this mm-hmm. is an important part. It's a critical part in the scientific method, right? Like you need to be called out on potential problems before you try to publish the paper or before you try to launch something into space. Because it's better that it happens before you make the big accident that costs millions or billions of dollars.
And any parting words of wisdom, gentlemen? Kavi looks like he's about ready to fall asleep in his chair.
I'm very excited for that next episode with our astronaut Wrangler. And I'm going to go take a rapid antigen test as soon as this episode's done.
Oh, boy. All right. Benjamin, any parting words?
Exactly what Kavi said. I'm excited for the episode, but I am not taking an antigen test because I'm fine.
Well, you don't like tests.
You've already had
I don't like
your,
tests.
You've already had your bout of COVID, so you're good.
Yes, I had COVID.
Yes, you're already done with that.
Second COVID.
No one needs second COVID. You have been listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with the Space Nerds Kavi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio. And always a microphone bump.
I didn't mean it. I'm so.